in one accord in one place, and there was a sound that came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind that filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then in John 15 and 26, but when the Helper comes, remember that the Helper is Holy Spirit. So when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father. So in this verse of Scripture, we see the triune Godhead right there. The promise is, or the Helper rather, is the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send, which is Jesus, is the I there, and from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And in another place, he said, in the end of Matthew in chapter 28, he says for us to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Right? To be empowered, he will endue you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, I will endue you with power, dunamis power, and why? So that we can be witnesses in Judea and Samaria and Judea, the uttermost parts of the earth, right? I said last week, that's Myrtle Creek. Right? That's Myrtle Creek. If you're over there, this would be the uttermost parts of the earth, right? I mean, in a real kind of a literal kind of a sense. And so I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about sharing your faith. All of us need to share our faith. Now, I don't mean to pick you out of the crowd, but somebody's been talking because you, I don't know where you were this afternoon when I brought my second load in, but the other guy, I can't remember his name on the, Andy, he said, hey, preacher man, he said, just bring your load on up here to the blue cone. Well, I haven't said five words to that guy the whole time I've been hauling in there, so how he knew I was preacher guy, I don't know. But so somebody, the word's getting out somewhere. And why I bring that up is because it can be just that easy that we can just casually slip. Do you know who that guy is? That's the guy, that's the pastor of the church that I go to, which can open an entire door of opportunity for ministry just by those kinds of remarks and comments. So sharing your faith, how many of you think that share your faith is scary? Just get honest with us tonight. Just be honest. Listen, let me just help you tonight. Sharing your faith is not scary. It shouldn't be scary. You know why? Because all you got to share is your story. And if you need a verse of Scripture to go along, John 3:16 will fit in every story in this place. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Ralph, that you, whosoever, would believe, and remember that the word believe is an action word. It's not a one-time deal. I don't just believe right now. I believe and I keep on believing. Right? And so when you begin to start telling your story about what God has done for me, it should be very natural and very easy for us to tell our, because ain't nobody knows your story like you know your story. And let me just tell you what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and by the way, I'm whosoever. I'm just telling you how you can share your story. That whosoever would believe, which is more than intellectual assent, right? You do believe in your mind, but the belief has to, Judy, it has to drop from here into here. I'll do the preaching. Good. Don't make, you, listen.
you guys back there,
Casey Cole, you might have to go back there and straighten him out for your papa, all right? He's on his way. Here he comes. Sharing your faith it's a privilege. It's a privilege to share your faith. And it is our purpose. I if you remember right, last Wednesday and also on Sunday, I asked how many of you were saved, and everybody raised their hand. I said, how many are in full-time ministry? And not near as many hands went up, which is not good. Because if you're saved, you are in full-time ministry. Hello? So according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, what should, must, needs to, however you want to look at that, what must happen in our personal life before we are ready to share our faith? Let's just read the verse. 3:15, 1 Peter. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And every once in a while, be ready. See, you put that up too fast for me, Michelle. I'm trying to mess with the people a little bit.
It's all right.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always. This is not a suggestion. You need to understand that this isn't a suggestion. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So instead of being afraid of people, as believers, our focus ought to be on Christ himself. Hello? Our focus ought to be on Christ himself. And if we will focus on him, then we have nothing to fear. And so it can also be translated, reverence Christ as Lord, or sanctify the Lord Christ in your heart. The heart is considered the place of deep emotion. It's also where fear would dwell. The word sanctified, we're going to get into it here in a little bit. But just understand that the word sanctify means set apart. You've been set apart. You've been sanctified. You were here. You've been sanctified. Now you're over here. You're sanctified. So, Peter, here's your first couple of blanks to fill in. But Peter wanted the believers to replace fear with faith. Fear with faith. How many of you know this? Was I supposed to dismiss you guys? Okay.
I just looked over there and I thought, I forgot to do something.
Okay, good enough. Perfect love casts out all fear. Amen? Perfect love casts out all fear. So Peter wanted the believers to replace fear with faith and also with reverence. But acknowledging Christ as Lord and Savior, they would recognize his holiness and be able to rest in him. There would be no room in your heart for fear. How many of you have been fearful since you've been a Christian? As every hand in the house goes in there. So what it's talking about here are words from Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13. But the Lord of hosts, him you shall regard as holy. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. So when believers have set apart Christ as Lord, regarding him as holy and reverencing him in their hearts, they know that he is in control of events, that he is the reigning king, and that all power and authority ultimately will answer to him. That's your fill in the blank. Will answer to him. There is no power on earth greater than God. He is almighty. He is the Almighty God. So what then does it mean? I want to spend a few moments. We're already really low on time, but I want to talk to a little bit about this word sanctification. What does it mean to sanctify the Lord in our heart? Sanctification is used of, number one, a separation to God. A separation to God. You've been called out of the world to God. There's a separation to God. And then, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13, 1 Peter 1 and 2, you can cross-reference those, and it'll talk about the separation to God. It's also, sanctification is also used of the course of life that is befitting those that are separated. What kind of a life should we, as those that are sanctified, live? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace to you and peace be multiplied." So here's another fill in the blank. Peter here is encouraging his readers by this strong declaration that they were chosen by God the Father. How many of you realize tonight that you have been chosen? You didn't just stumble. You know, how many of you have said, "Well, I found the Lord"? Well, I got news for you. You didn't find him because he wasn't lost. Amen. You and I are the ones that are lost, and he's the one that left the 99 and came looking for us. He chose you. Now, why he chose some of us, I don't know.
Are we the elect?
Yes. Yes, we are, but you know, I don't like the word elect. I know what it means. I know what you're talking about. But you know, we elect politicians and you know all that kind of stuff. But we're chosen. We are chosen. I'd a lot rather have us use the word chosen than elect, because elect kind of brings to my mind that there's a chance that, you know, of randomness that you could, but I've been chosen. In fact, I was chosen, Tim, while I was still his enemy. I was chosen before the foundation of the earth. Wow. I mean, you think about that just for a moment. We have been chosen. So we've been chosen by God the Father. And at one time, only the nation of Israel could claim to be God's chosen people. But through Christ, all believers, whether Jew or Gentile, we belong to God. And our salvation and our security rests in God's merciful choice. He chose us. Paul, he chose us. What in the world? Judy has probably known me longer than anybody in this room. And he chose me. And I know you... She should...
He can save you, he can save anybody.
Exactly. Did I ever tell you about your goose that I killed?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That goose scared me to death, man. I just threw a rock at it to scare it off, but I hit it right there.
That wasn't good. I threw that goose in the creek.
She still loves me. She's still here. It's crazy.
Time
does have a way of healing things. Our salvation, listen, our salvation and our security rests in God's merciful choice. No trial, no persecution, none of those things can take the eternal life that he has given to those of us that believe in him. But how did he choose us? Don't we make our own choices? Doesn't Joshua say in chapter 24, "Choose you this day whom you're going to serve"? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But here's the thing. The Bible says that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come. That's God's ultimate plan, that none would perish, but all would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's two kinds of wills that God has, his perfect will and his permissive will. And if you want to go to hell, knock yourself out. He will let you. If you refuse the salvation that he has provided through the shed blood and the life of his son, that's on you. But you will never be able to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know. I could. There was no, yes, there was. I sent my son. And so God alone originates and accomplishes our salvation because of his grace. You and I can't do a thing to earn it. We can't do a thing to earn it. God purchased it by his son. Jesus said, it is finished. And if Jesus said it's finished, here's a clue. It's finished. Everything has been provided. Payment has been made. Being chosen in no way removes, however, the necessity for people to choose to follow. We must choose to follow. The fact that God knows all events and decisions beforehand, even ordains them beforehand, does not mean that he forces the action of his creatures or leaves them with no choice. Choose you this day. You and I have to choose Jesus. God's foreknowledge means that he took the initiative. He took the initiative. And he chose you and I. Listen to this, because this is powerful. He chose you and I before we did anything, Dennis, to deserve it. Before we did anything to deserve it. Remember that it says, while we were yet his enemy, he died for us. Before we did anything to deserve it. God had intimate knowledge of us, of every future believer. He knew who would believe, and he knew them personally. The ones chosen were known by God the Father as the Father knows his children, except that God knew about them from eternity past. He knows about you. He knows everything about you. Well, he did. He did. In our mother's womb, he knitted us together. Dave, he knows how many hairs we used to have. Amen. He knows all that. He's all knowing. He had intimate knowledge of you and I. He knew. In eternity past, Lindsay Lee, that you are going to be in church tonight. He knew that. He knew every one of you. He knew you were going to be here tonight, Ralph. Gene, he knew you guys were all going to get caught. Where's the rest of your crew? Cleaning up?
I don't blame him.
God knows. Those chosen are known by God the Father as the Father knows his children. Listen, here's the deal. God is not trapped in time. We are trapped in time. Most every one of us have a wristwatch. If we don't have a wristwatch, we have a phone. And the phone tells us what time it is, what day it is. You know, we are ruled by time. We are ruled by time. Time dictates all this stuff. But God's not trapped in time. What he knows is from eternity past into eternity future. And you and I as believers are chosen, but we're not chosen against our will. So sanctification is one of your fill in the blanks. Sanctification is the relationship with God into which men enter by faith. by faith in Christ, according to Acts chapter 26 and 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, and to which our sole title is the death of Christ. I'm not sure why I put that. Because Christ died for us, and by dying for us, we have the ability to be set apart. That's kind of what that's supposed to be talking about. Sanctification is also used in the New Testament of the separation of the believers from evil things and evil ways. And so sanctification, here's another one, is God's will. Sanctification is God's will for the believer. God wants us to be set apart. And his purpose in calling him by the gospel, it has to be learned from God as he teaches it by his word. And it must be pursued by the believers earnestly. And we must never deviate from that. Faith. I got news for you. The worst sinner in the whole world has faith. Every person, a measure of faith. I was on it. I fixed it. I hate these buttons.
Press them both at the same time?
Okay. Hallelujah. Right.
I have more faith than you, and that's why I'm who I am in God. He really loves me because my faith is greater than yours. But nobody has greater or lesser faith, you know? I don't think.
We've only got enough faith to believe. To believe unto salvation and to do the things that he's called us to do. And he said if we had faith as of a grain of mustard seed. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a mustard seed, but them are little bitty dudes. And he said, if you had that much faith, you could speak to the mountain and the mountain would be removed. Amen. And so, you know, it's God's will for us. Pardon me? Sometimes people lose faith, but do they have to? Do they have to? So it's a choice. It's a choice to not have faith, right? I don't think they lose their faith. They just quit using it. They quit acting on it. They quit allowing faith and trusting the faith to do. Because if God gave you that measure of faith, it's in you. And so what the problem is we quit walking by faith. We quit walking by faith. So, and again, it goes back to choosing. I choose by faith to follow after the Lord. So I want to, I just want to touch on a few things here. To just kind of level the playing field, Romans chapter 3, Ralph, to your point, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 kind of levels the whole playing field here. It says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. Every last one of us. Every person. Paul makes it clear that in his letter that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile when it comes to final judgment. Everybody has sinned. Everyone has sinned. Jesus has shed his blood to cover every sin every one of us ever, ever, ever will commit. Ever. Yesterday, today, and forever. And so we have to understand that. So nobody can share in God's glory by virtue of our sinlessness. Christ alone is the only one that was entirely sinless. That's the only thing that qualified him. Can I say this? Let me even though he was the Son of God, did not qualify him to be our sacrifice. What qualified him was he was the sinless Son of God. He was the sinless Son of God. That he was pure. That's what qualified him. If the law measures the distance between God and the creatures, then human righteousness is our attempt to bridge the distance by our own efforts. And so Paul says we all fall short. We all fall short. We all need a Savior. But what is the glory of God that we don't reach on our own? The word glory, from which we derive the word doxology, refers to the wonderful and awe-inspiring and indescribable presence of God Himself. The glory of God. We've been praying. I've been praying for the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, the manifest presence of God to show up in this place. I'm believing for that. Yeah. Yes, he did. He came as the sacrifice. Yeah. So we tend to think of glory in terms of brightness, but it's certainly a lot more than that. It is utter wholeness and it is completeness. And here's some quick fill in the blanks. Number one, sin keeps us from the presence of God. Sin keeps us from the presence of God. So what ought to catch our attention is the fact that our common sinfulness keeps us from reaching the places that we were created to experience. Isn't that amazing? One of the anticipations of faith in Christ is that we will share fully in the glory of God. Sinning confirms our status as sinners. And sin cuts us off from our holy God. Sins are deadly, but sinners can be forgiven. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. And everybody said, woo! I mean, that's our hope, isn't it? Because this isn't just talking about the heavy sins, okay? Sin is sin. Do you know what the literal definition of sin is? Missing the mark. Stealing penny bubble gum is as much sin as killing somebody. Sin is sin. It's literally you are missing the marks. But we as sinners can be forgiven. There's no distinction. We have all sinned. We all need a Savior. We all need a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, and He is the Savior. That's a fill in the blank. And through faith, that's another fill in the blank, we can receive His salvation. Isn't that amazing? He loves us so much. Did you guys get all those? I don't know what in the world you guys are doing. Where do you want me to go back to? Anticipations of faith. And then the next one is Jesus Christ is the Savior through faith. We can receive His salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! God is such a good, good God. Father, I thank You for tonight. I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for Lee. And I thank You that You're healing him right now. In Jesus' name, I thank You that You're healing Jack C., his abscess and this hand and foot and mouth disease. God, I thank You that You're healing him right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you're healing each person in this place tonight, God, that needs your healing touch. I thank you, Lord, that you're making provision where provision needs to be made. I thank you, God, that the provision for a brand new building is on its way. I thank you for that. I thank you for testimonies that are going to begin to come of your people sharing their faith. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Bill and Tabitha as they leave tomorrow to go elk hunting. Keep them safe, Lord. Let them fill every tag that they've got. Bless their time. Bless their trip. Watch over their vehicles and all the stuff. Lord, bring the ladies back together tomorrow for women's Bible study, the men on Friday night. God, I pray for our church services on Sunday. The Lord, that you would prepare ahead of time hearts to receive you as Lord and Savior that day. And God, I thank you for it. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us tonight by way of the internet.